Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this third day of May 2022. And by the enthusiastic urging of my dear friend, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III and his wife, Becky, I have on a guest today for the first time who is a dear friend of theirs, who they insisted would make a superb guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I do not take Dr. Moorcraft and his wife, Becky's, recommendations lightly. They have very keen discernment and a lot of wisdom. And so I quickly took them up on their strong recommendations. Today, our guest for the first time is E. Ray Moore, a chaplain and lieutenant colonel in the United States Army, retired, who has served for over 40 years in pastoral ministry as a campus pastor, a congregational minister, campaign consultant, or staff for several major political campaigns, a graduate of the Citadel with a BA in political science, a graduate of Grace Theological Seminary, cum laude, with a Master of Divinity in 1974 and a Master of Theology in 1979, an Army Reserve chaplain retiring as lieutenant in 1999, a Bronze Star recipient for service in Gulf War I, co-founder of Frontline Ministries Incorporated, currently serving as the president of the board, author of Let My Children Go, and co-author with his wife Gail of The Promise of Jonadab, Building a Christian Family Legacy in a Time of Cultural Decline. He's also one of the executive producers of the 2011 award-winning film Indoctrination, Public Schools and the Decline of Christianity in America, which is a Gunn production, and also a script writer and executive producer of the film Escaping Common Core, Setting Our Children Free, which is a Cutting Edge Films production. Today we're going to be addressing Exodus Mandate, encouraging and assisting Christian families to leave Pharaoh's school system for the promised land of Christian schools and homeschooling. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Ray Moore.
Well, thanks, Chris. I've been hearing about your program for some time, and so I'm happy to be here today. Of course, we do go back quite a long time with Joe and Becky Moorcraft. My wife Gail was, and Becky were roommates in college in the late 60s before any of us were married. And so we go back that long, and I think we got married a few months before they did. And so we have a long history with them, and they with us. In fact, the first public announcement about the Exodus Mandate Project, which we're going to talk about today, was made in their church in 1997.
Wow.
And I wasn't quite ready for it, but Joe was excited. We had gone to Atlanta to spend a weekend with them, and I was seeking counsel at that time, going around meeting with some important Christian leaders to see if I was crazy or not, to think I could do a ministry that would get millions of children, Christian children, out of public school. And he thought it was just a great idea and made the public announcement that Sunday. And I wasn't quite ready, but that was the way it worked, and we've been going since then.
Well, sometimes to teach kids how to swim, you got to push them in the water.
And Joe is really well known for that. and it's a good thing he does that. He's a real motivator. Of course, you know, if you have him on your show, what a great Bible teacher and theologian he is.
He's a world-class
theologian.
Oh, I have him on the show probably around 2 to 3 times a month at least.
Wow, okay.
Well, before we go into the Exodus mandate, which is going to be the major theme of the show, we have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony that would include the kind of religious atmosphere, if any, that they were raised in, and the kinds of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And I'd love to hear your story.
Well, I was raised in a Christian home, you know, and we could say, as Paul said of Timothy, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, able to make thee wise unto salvation. So I was raised in a Baptist church, you know, in the South, Southern Baptist, and my parents were devoted Christians. They instructed us in Scripture. And I would say somewhere along the line, I made a public profession, as in the Baptist world, you know, to go forward in a service, publicly profess that Christ was my Savior. And then when I was 9 years old, I was baptized. It's possible that, and that's, you know, kind of the Baptist way, that I might have been saved before that. My mom remembers when I was 4 years old that I used to embarrass her with her friends, because wherever we would go together as a four-year-old, I would ask them if they were saved, if they knew Jesus as their Savior. And of course, she wasn't ashamed of it, but she didn't want that question going to all of her girlfriends at the time. I followed the Lord pretty faithfully in that world. And then when I was in early college years, I kind of backslid. But in my junior year at the Citadel, I recommitted my life to Christ in a really wonderful way. And I've been following him with ups and downs since that time. We've been married 52 years. Gail was at Agnes Scott College, rooming with Becky Moorcraft, then Becky Belcher, when we started courting. And we got married in 1969. We have 4 adult children and 8 grandchildren. We've raised our children up in the faith. Our 4 children are faithful Christians, walking with the Lord, have good marriages, and they themselves are homeschooling or put their own kids in private Christian schools. So we have a long history going back to really 1977, when I was finishing up my theological seminary training, Grace Seminary in Winona Lake, Indiana. We started homeschooling our oldest son. He was 6 years old at the time, and now he's 51. So we've had a journey of faith, and also with the Christian education movement, you know, going back to 77. But in 97 is when I publicly launched the Exodus Mandate Project, and as I mentioned already, our first public announcement is at Joe Moorcraft's church.
Well, let's also hear something about Frontline Ministries. I mentioned earlier that you are co-founder of that ministry, and I know that the Exodus Mandate is connected with that. So if you could tell us about Frontline Ministries.
In 1994, Reverend Lee Adams and his wife Susan and Gail and Raymore, that's me and my wife, launched Frontline Ministries, which was a broad ministry for revival, prayer, intercession. We had an apologetics agenda and also an agenda for Christian education and homeschooling, but it was too broad and we had a kind of a limited budget at that time. And so in 97, we kind of focused in on laser-like on one thing. That was the Exodus Mandate. Frontline Ministries is our house in which we live, our 501c3 incorporated. And I know there's some controversies about that, but that's what we did in 94. And then we offered the ExodusMandate.org as a project under that. It has no independent legal standing. It's really just a project underneath Frontline Ministries. But people know us better as ExodusMandate.org. When people hear about us, some people have heard of ExodusMandate.org because that's what we project more than Frontline Ministries. I know that's a little confusing, but that's the way it happened.
Oh, not confusing at all. Well, obviously, you have a passion and a mission to lead Christian families out of the government school system into the Christian schools and homeschooling. When did this passion and this mission begin in your life? What were you witnessing that brought you to the point where you were no longer going to be a spectator on the sidelines watching this happen, watching the decline of the school system and the culture? And you said, you know, I am going to roll up my sleeves. I'm to get involved in this, in the trenches, and I'm actually going to actively do something about that. How and when did this begin to occur?
Well, it probably started in 1977 when we first started homeschooling our oldest son, but it was just strictly about me and my son, my wife and her son at that time. We weren't thinking of, in a broader context than just our immediate family. But over the next 20 years, the conviction of about how important it was really grew. And I guess the turning point for me, a big turning point, happened in 1997. I attended the big briefing in Washington, D.C., where all the conservative groups, and you would know a lot of them, Homeschool Legal Defense, the Heritage Foundation, about 15 sponsors, Concerned Women for America, Phyllis Schlafly's Eagle Forum, all sponsored together a big briefing in Washington, D.C. about the condition at that time in 97 of state-run public schools and how terrible it was. And I went to that briefing, and I remember just being amazed at the speakers because no one really had a solution to it. They all were just wringing their hands and moaning and talking about, oh, ain't it awful. Look at what they're doing to our children. Oh, ain't it awful. And all they could say was, the only plan they had was repeal bad laws. And I remember just sitting there just utterly amazed and realizing how poor and weak the conservative Christian leadership was at that time. And it really improved some, but not much better. And that nobody in our leadership had a plan about what to do about the school situation. But I knew the left had a plan, that they were really working hard. They were using the public schools to bring our country down. And yet none of our people had figured it out.
And you know something, when I think back in the 70s when you first started becoming alarmed, what they are doing now makes what you probably witnessed in the public school systems back in the 70s made it look like, you know, John Calvin's Academy or something. I mean, because it went from being bad, horrible, to absolutely grotesque, horrifying, and satanic.
Yeah, it's gotten up. The evil in the public school system has really accelerated in 20 or 30 years now. It was never a good system. It was never Christian. But it sometimes had a level playing field and gave Christians equal time. But That's all changed now, and it's absolutely hostile to Christian families. But anyway, I went ahead and felt that day I was in the conference room of the House Judiciary Committee, and I felt God telling me to go try to do this. And I had written a tract or a sermon 2 years earlier called Let My Children Go, and published it in a Christian paper in Greenville, South Carolina. And I was already advocating in my state when I had a chance. It was time to get out of the schools and go to homeschooling or Christian schooling. But it was very localized, and my vision was only as big as the boundaries of my state. But that day, I felt like I'm going to take this thing national. Now, I felt a little silly at the time, thinking that, you know, I could get millions of kids to leave the public school system. But that was what my dream was. So I went to share it with three people that I really had a lot of confidence in, their wisdom and ability, and also that they were big-time, big Christian thinkers. And of course, Joel Moorcraft was one. And we spent a weekend with him sharing our dream and our vision. He thought it was just great. So as I mentioned, he kicked me out early before I was ready to make a public announcement. But we did, and we launched it about that time. I met with my younger brother, who at that time was the head of foreign policy and defense studies at the Heritage Foundation. So he was a top person in his particular field in defense at Heritage, and that's a big-time Republican conservative think tank. And he thought it was a good idea. He was a big thinker in the defense and foreign policy world. He would probably be one of the top 10 conservative policy analysts in the country at that time. And he said, you should try it. He said, the left, and this was interesting, I remember this very vividly today, he said the left, the Marxists, the socialists, have won the culture war. They've already won. They know it, but we don't know it, and they're just going to take the next 30 to 40 years to finish us off and clean us up. And the conservative leadership are not that sharp. And I mentioned already how they couldn't figure out what to do at that meeting I was at. So he said, you should try to do it. And then later I met with a good friend who was in our church, and he was a retired Army Colonel JAG officer, and he was a homeschooler and had his kids also in the same Christian school that my wife taught at, and he thought it was a good idea too, but he made a funny comment. He's got a kind of a wry sense of humor, and he said, Ray, if you tried to do that, take the kids out of the public school and get them into Christian school, he said, you'll become the most hated man in America. And I kind of shocked me. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, the left, the Marxists, will really hate you because they will know you have figured them out. You know what they're doing and how they've got a plan to use public schools to bring our country down. But he said the Christians will hate you too because they're stubborn and willful and they don't want to obey God and God's word when it comes to educating their own children. Well, it didn't work out quite that bad, but it was an interesting comment. And I think in some ways, we're still flying under the radar with the left. I hope that didn't go on forever. But my brother said they wouldn't take me serious because they would see what we were doing with Christian education as strictly a religious thing and not a political thing. So they wouldn't worry about us because these little pastors and these little Christians down here and someplace doing something, and they think they can affect the country. They don't have a very big budget. And we've got billions of dollars. We get billions and billions of dollars of taxpayer money, and they have to go out and raise money the old-fashioned way. So they're not going to take you serious either. But anyway, it's moved along, and we've been at it, Chris, for 25 years, and it's just in the last two or three years starting to really turn and change in a remarkable ways. We can't hardly believe the moment we're living in right now with the growth of homeschooling and Christian schooling. I describe it as a once in a 100-year moment. this kind of thing only comes around every 100 years. Homeschooling has gone from, in 2 years since the pandemic, has gone from 2.5 million to 5 or 6 million in less than a two-year period. And maybe it'll go even higher because we don't know what the outcome is going to be because the left keeps pushing this critical race theory in our schools, and it's causing more and more people to leave. And then private campus Christian schools are growing at the rate of 10, 20, and 30% a year. So we can realistically see that this might, we might come up to 30% outside the system right now. Before all this pandemic, it was 13 to 15% outside the public system. And that would have taken in Catholic schools and private schools that are not religious, as well as evangelical Christian schools and homeschooling. And of course, we prefer and we strongly advocate Christ-centered, Bible-based Christian education, but if somebody takes their kids out and puts them in a private school, it does at least weaken the system, which we'd be in favor of. So we could see this movement in the next year or so going to 30% or maybe more. And if that were to happen, we might reach a tipping point, if you know, and you know what that is, where there's a sudden shift in the culture over an idea or a product or something like that, and we have a sudden rush into the new paradigm. You may remember when the personal computers came out. I can't remember quite the year that really took off, but there was a period when very few people had them in their homes, and then all of a sudden everybody had one. And so that's called a tipping point. It's a sudden shift to a new model, a new paradigm. I remember when I was in seminary in the early 70s, nobody had hand calculators in those days. A lot of people were still using slide rules to do calculations. And I had a friend in my town who had gotten a hand calculator, bought one from Texas Instruments.
Yeah, that's what my brother Bob had. I could still remember it and being fascinated by this hand calculator from Texas Instruments.
Yeah, and that was their, I think they were the ones that, that created the first one. He had one in town where we were living in the early 70s.
And very expensive for that day.
Yeah, they were. And people would come around from around town, knock on his door, you know, students at the seminary, and ask to see this thing called a hand calculator. Well, I think within 4 or 5 years of that, everybody had them. And that's called a tipping point. So we can see this happening with education, where the public school model is failing so badly, and people are just finally had enough, and they're just going to leave in droves. And that is what's happening now. And so I hope your audience will help us and join in, you know, urge their friends to get out of these schools. We do know that 80% of Christian children, that would be evangelical Christians, that's a broad term. I'm sure that your audience is probably fits that category. But 80% of children from those kinds of families who remain in public schools through their entire career abandon the church and the Christian faith in their early adult years. That's how devastating it is to the Christian community. Because one of the biggest things I fight, Chris, is this absurd salt and light idea. People say, oh, no, Johnny and Mary, they're salt and light. They're missionaries in the public school. I want to slap people when I hear that. It's such an absurd idea. They take Jesus' words and Matthew 13 and 14 and twist them to mean something he never intended. He just simply was giving a general statement of behavior for Christians in all contexts that we should live Christ-like way and be a witness and be salt and light in whatever circumstances we're in to witness for Christ and show his majesty, his glory. But he doesn't tell us there to put little children in harm's way and put them in pagan schools so they can be corrupted. And I think a lot of parents are going to risk a millstone. That's Matthew 18:6. You know, he said, if you cause one of these little ones to stumble, you're risking having a millstone put around your neck and cast into the bottom of the sea. And I think a lot of them are doing it unknowingly. And I do periodically come across parents that are sincere in that faulty view. They hold that scripture improperly, but they, they are sincere. But most cases when I hear people make that, use that text to justify putting little children in public schools, I think it's a case of sloth and laziness. They're just looking for scripture justification because they don't want to do what God says about raising their children.
Yeah, and if they would not believe it was wise to have their little children voting in the church, why on earth would they think that they could be capable of being missionaries?
Right. Well, it's the number one issue I have to fight. And I actually have written a pamphlet on it. And if, I guess if your audience wanted to contact our office, they could contact Exodus Mandate, one word, Exodus Mandate, at gmail.com. And we could send out samples of some of our literature. Of course, we can always use donors, and people could, you know, make a donation in that same location.
Well, we have to go to our first station break. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Whether you agree or disagree with our guest or you're just not certain, send in your email. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. It might even involve your own children, may even involve a disagreement in your own household over whether or not to send your children to a Christian school or homeschool them, removing them from the government school system. Whatever the issue is that would compel you to remain anonymous, we will grant your request if it's a personal and private matter. But please, if it's just a general question, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. We'll be right back with Ray Moore right after these messages from our sponsors.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundsen, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundsen, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn.
Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshiped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the entire program is Ray Moore, who has spearheaded and is running Exodus Mandate, encouraging and assisting Christian families to leave Pharaoh's school system, or otherwise known as the government schools or public schools, for the promised land of Christian schools and homeschooling. If you have a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. What are the specific things that were and now are present in the government school system that disturbed you so much, perhaps even outraged you so much, that Christian parents were still sending their children there? When I was in grammar school in the late 60s and early 70s, the only thing that I can remember being in a private and parochial Catholic school, since I was a Catholic before I was saved, was in science. Even in that Catholic parochial school, they taught evolution. And the science teacher even told us, don't listen to the nuns about the story of Adam and Eve. It's a bunch of nonsense. and all those stories in the Old Testament about Noah's Ark and all that. That's a bunch of baloney. And it was interesting how he maintained a career there for many years. Having even gone to a public or government high school, junior and regular high school, I can't remember, other than an occasional mention of evolution and things like that in science, of anything shocking, even in the 70s through 1980 when I graduated. Perhaps it was just because I was stoned out of my mind for most of my high school years. And of course, back then I wouldn't have been shocked because I wasn't a believer. But what is present and what was present that even got worse, that disrupted your life so much that you said, I've got to do something about this?
Well, first of all, we start with a presupposition that Christ is the foundation to all of life. Any system or organization that does not have Christ is the foundation of Scripture, Holy Scripture as a guiding point, will inevitably go corrupt, completely corrupt. And so Christ in the Bible is not welcome in that system in any way. And so it's inevitable that all these viruses and toxins and errors will just cling to it like viruses to a body that's got no immunity. So we have to start there, and it's not a neutral system, it's a hostile to faith. Currently, the thing that's driving the engine the most, causing people to leave, is probably critical race theory is being taught throughout the public school system. And you can see a lot of the protests.
Even though the leftists deny that.
Yeah, right. Well, the families know it. And I was actually on the 700 Club today talking about this. And they featured Loudoun County, Virginia, which is where a lot of this has gone on. And they featured a pastor, Gary Hamrick. He pastors a large megachurch in the county. And I guess they're starting a Christian school. They bought property, and they're getting ready to launch it within a year, a school for 500 to 700 children. He said he's already got 2,500 families signed up. He doesn't know what he's going to do. And he says people are contacting him from all over the country wanting to send their kids there. And he's surprised at how many requests for jobs he's getting from Christian teachers that work in the public school system. They want out, too. So this was a very, very good report. It was the 700 Club today, about a five-minute segment, and I had about a minute, and then he had the rest. But it's very good news, and they surveyed all the things that are going on around the country. So that's the current thing. But a lot of people are trying to run for school boards, thinking they can just get rid of critical race theory, all will be well. Well, that's absurd. And I urge your audience, don't get caught up in that trap of running for school board. It will, if you got elected, you wouldn't get anything done. It would not fix the problem. The problem is too embedded. It's too deep. It's really a Marxist, leftist, anti-Christian system, and it can't be fixed. It's actually not broken. Public schools are highly successful, according to the designers, and it was a socialistic model from the very start. And so you can't fix it if it's not broken. And I don't mean it's doing a good job. It's doing a bad job, but it's operating according to their plan, which is a socialistic model. So critical race theory is the current thing, but then you have LGBTQ is all in the schools. You have evolution, as you've already mentioned. There have to be a dozen things. You have to get rid of a dozen things, and then it still wouldn't be constituted on the foundation of Christ and the Scripture. So it's got to be abandoned. And as I mentioned early in this interview, we could be at a tipping point where if we have enough people that will obey God and do the right thing with their own children, it may tip the tipping point, and we could move quickly into the new paradigm of only private Christian homeschooling in America. The politicians would be glad to get rid of it. They know it's not working. in my state, about 50% of the budget in the state budget is higher ed and K-12 education. And they might say, well, hey, we're going to let you Christians do it. Y'all seem to be doing a better job. You've got plenty of churches that are empty 5 days a week. We can use those churches for schools, and we're going to get out of the school business and let you do it. And we're going to use the limited tax money we have to pay the roads and pick up the garbage. But I tell the state, leave our children alone. You have no business educating children. Get out of the school business, because you're not doing a very good job.
And, of course, they're not going to just listen to Christians saying that.
Right.
Well, a part of your mission, before I even get into how much headway you specifically are making in this, part of your mission is assisting Christian families to leave the Pharaoh's school system for the promised land of Christian schools and homeschooling. How exactly are you assisting them? Obviously, you're encouraging them by making this information available to the public and to Christians specifically. But how are you actually assisting them to do this?
Okay, very good question. One of the main things that I have done successfully over the years is I get on talk shows like yours, and I reach out to, you know, groups 10, 20, 30,000 people at a time. And, you know, I'm bypassing the churches. The pastors are not generally have not been cooperating with this. But I just bypass them and go right to the people. Recently, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I was on AFR radio, American Family Radio. They have 180 stations, mostly in the southeastern United States. And I was on there for a half hour. It was just incredible. You know, could have reached, I don't know what the audience, it could have been a half a million people. They've got a big audience. American Family Radio out of Tupelo, Mississippi. I was on that program, and then this morning I was on the 700 Club. Now, my part was only 1 minute, but it was a good minute for me, and then they had 5 minutes total on our mission. So that's one of the main things that I do. Used to do a lot of conventions, homeschool, Christian school conventions. We're recruiting workers and volunteers. And then 2 years ago, and I hope you'll make note of this, we can talk about it some, I was part of a group that formed a new program on the West Coast in San Diego called PublicSchoolExit.com. And please write that down, PublicSchoolExit.com. And there were some people in San Diego that liked the Exodus mandate, but they're pretty far away from me. I'm on the East Coast. And they wanted to have something like it and have it their own organization. And the lady who started is named Dran Reese, one of these really outstanding Christian female leaders, just energetic and bright, got a lot of personal wisdom. And so she organized this and is the CEO. And they asked me if I'd be the chairman. And I said, well, I don't have a lot of time. And she said, all you got to do is come on a call, you know, 1 or 2 days a week with about a dozen or other, sometimes we'll have 20 leaders on the call. So I was on that call today at 2:00 Eastern time, and we were planning, and it's just taken out, it's breathtaking all the things that are happening out there. This group is doing extremely well. They're operating now all over the country, and really have outpaced Exodus mandate, even though I'm keeping that going. She's got a pretty good budget, has about 4 or 5 paid staff, and so I'm helping with that. And Alex Newman is the executive director. You might have heard of him. He's one of these dynamic speakers. He writes for the New American Magazine. He is a regular columnist on Lindale TV. I think he has a daily program there, and he's just all over the country speaking at conferences. He's on the board. Sam Sorbo, who is the actress, wife of Kevin Sorbo, she's on a board. And she's got her own program, Sam Sorbo Show. Sam is a woman's name, not a man. Y'all may remember the movie God Is Not Dead. That was Kevin Sorbo, her husband, that produced that, acted in it. And they are just one of these really dynamic power couples, Hollywood actors, but they're not your typical Hollywood actors. And they homeschool three children, very conservative, and she's everywhere too. So we've got a pretty, you know, powerful group of board members, and I'd urge you to have her on as a guest. And so that's called publicschoolexit.com, and it's all geared, that site is totally geared toward newbies and people who want to leave, but they don't know how to begin and where to go, and they're just kind of lost. They've come to the decision to leave, but they don't have a clue about how to get started. So this site has a lot about curriculum, models of homeschooling, Christian schooling, and you can go there and study and kind of make up your own mind about what you want to do. It's kind of like a cafeteria of ideas for K-12 Christian schooling and homeschooling. Very good site, but you have to be serious-minded when you go there. You don't dabble. You got to go and bear down and study it for a while. And then we do have a consulting service, so if somebody is at a point where they want to do something, they can probably call the office and have a consulting service. And I am actually consulting with a couple of groups right now myself that are planning to start up Christian schools in the short term. So that's one of the groups that we work with. But I started ExodusMandate.org. That was 25 years ago. This is only 2 years old, Public School Exit, but it is really strong.
Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. And please be patient with us, folks, because the midway break is always the longer, the normal break in the show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to localize all of their programming, including Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, geographically to Lake City, Florida. They do so with their own public service announcements and other local things that they air during the midway break, while we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you possibly can provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. And hopefully that will often mean that you're purchasing their products, you're using their services, you're supporting their parachurch organizations, and you're visiting their churches. But when you cannot do any of those things, at the very least, please, if you love this show, respond to our advertisers and thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If indeed you love the show and are truly grateful that there are those out there who have the money to sponsor a program like this and keep it in existence, if you're truly grateful for that, then please thank our sponsors. We cannot exist without our advertisers, folks. So please, at the very least, thank them. Also use this time to send in your questions to Ray Moore about the education system, both the government schools and the homeschooling and private Christian school movement, and send those emails to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world.
Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hello.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please always make your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs, solid-ground-books.com. With Mother's Day coming up, Father's Day, birthdays, wedding anniversaries, wedding celebrations, retirement celebrations, baptism celebrations, condolences that you are offering to those mourning the loss of a loved one. Whatever the case may be, when you're purchasing a gift, please make your first stop, solid-ground-books.com, and give a gift that has eternal significance. Always remember to mention Chris Arnzen and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio whenever you make a purchase. Please purchase frequently and generously, because solid-ground-books.com is an extremely vital sponsor of this program. We would likely not be able to continue airing this program without their financial support. So please go to solid-ground-books.com today and mention us. And you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com a favor of incalculable value, because they reprint and publish nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day, featuring such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's solid-ground-books.com. Please visit them today and purchase generously. Before I return to our guest, Ray Moore, and our discussion on the Exodus mandate, we just have a couple of very important announcements to make. If you love this show, folks, please, if you don't want it to disappear, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer mailing in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail at your local post office, well, there will be a physical address that also appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. please never dig into the regular giving that you are accustomed to give to your own local church where you are a member if you are giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please don't do that. Don't give your church less money to bless us with some money. Please don't. Also, please don't put your family in serious financial jeopardy if you are already struggling to survive and make ends meet. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your church and providing for your family. Providing for my radio show is not a command of God. But if you love the show, you want it to stay on the air, you don't want it to disappear, and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money to go fine dining, you have extra money to go fast food dining, you have extra money to go to your favorite sporting events and your favorite concerts and all these other kinds of recreational activities. Well, please share some of that money with us if you love the show and want us to survive. Please, folks, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where in the world you live, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I may be able to help you find a church no matter where you live, as I've already done with many of our listeners spanning the globe in the Iron Sharpens Zion radio audience. So if you are in that predicament of not having a church home that is Christ-honoring and biblically faithful, or you have a friend, family, or loved one who is in that predicament, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Ray Moore. And please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. We do have an anonymous listener who says, "I am constantly hearing from people who are actively involved in running private Christian schools that Christians are disobeying God and really doing their children a disservice, to put it mildly, by not enrolling them in private schools or homeschooling. But for us who homeschool, and those of us who cannot afford to send our children to a private school," actually, I misread the question. She or he anonymously said, "For us who cannot homeschool, and for those of us who cannot afford to send our children to a private Christian school, what kind of resolution do you have?"
Okay. Well, it's complicated. I think about 25% of the public, it could be even a third, cannot afford private Christian schools because some of them can be pretty expensive. So one thing that we would urge is it would be a benevolence fund in the churches for those poor families that want to send their kids to a Christian school. Tragically, a lot of the churches don't know they should be doing this, so it's not set up. But that's something that needs to happen. So we're looking at a long-term solution here. Then the other answer would be homeschooling, but sometimes that assumes that the wife does not work outside the home, and a lot of families have a need for two-income parents. Another answer would be we know a lot of cases where grandparents are homeschooling their children, their grandchildren. My sister's doing that for her daughter who has three children at home, and she has to work. So my sister, the grandmother, is homeschooling three children. So there are solutions, and there, you know, it's not as an easy thing, but there can be solutions. And I tell people there is a God. You know, you can pray to him and ask him to help you figure out your particular situation. But you really can't put your child in a public school anymore. And if you do that, you are putting them in harm's way, and they're being indoctrinated and being harmed by the curriculum. Now, there may be some exceptions here and there. Not all the public schools are equally bad. but most of them are pretty bad. And even the ones that are not aggressively attacking our children and indoctrinating them or not teaching Christ's scriptures and the gospel to the children. So they should be in a place like that. So the first thing is you've got to come to terms with the fact that the scriptures command you to give your child a Christian education of some kind and not put them in pagan schools. And then the Lord will show you different ways to resolve it. We really have a lot of issues with the pastors because, generally speaking, they're not providing these services in their churches.
Now, you said earlier that the pastors in general are either indifferent or ignoring your pleas for them to be involved in what you're doing, or there might even be opposed to it. Why? I mean, when you're talking about Christian pastors, I'm not talking about mainline apostate leftist pastors. I'm talking about regenerate, Bible-believing, born-again pastors. Why are they, what reasons are they giving for ignoring this very serious situation?
Well, there could be many. One, sometimes they feel that they're managers, not crusaders, and that they just need to meet the needs of people where they are and help them where they are. And that's not totally invalid, but in this case, the children in their church should not be in public schooling because that's a pagan, non-Christian, anti-Christian system. So that's one reason. Another reason would be, frankly, this has been very hard for me to come to terms with this because I've been in the ministry now really 45 years, either as a congregational pastor, army chaplain, or a president of a Christian ministry. It's taken me a while to get my mind around this point that I'm getting ready to make, but I've really come to terms with it really strongly in the last 4 or 5 years. A lot of them are just afraid. And it's not becoming of a pastor to be afraid. I remember years ago, I had a friend here in town who pastored a very large Southern Baptist church. And he was one of the better pastors in the community. Now, this was 1999, so it hasn't been a long time ago. But at that point, I had a book out and a movie called Let My Children Go. And he pastored a church of 2,000 or 3,000. And he was a soul winner, and he had led a lot of them to Christ himself and baptized them. And I gave him the book and the movie, and about a month later, we got together to talk about it. And this is what he said to me, and it really made an impression on me, and I've never forgotten it. He said, "Ray, if I tried to do what you're suggesting," he said, "we've got 35 public school teachers in the church. And he says they would throw me out on the street if I tried to advocate what you're doing and what you're saying." So he wouldn't touch it. It was too difficult for him to negotiate it. Now, that was a long time ago, and maybe he'd be different today. But he was afraid of the public school teachers at his church. And a lot of them know they've got, a large mega church in particular will have all kinds of factions in the church. We know a church here in town is a very conservative church, and the headmaster of a very flourishing Christian school in the community attends that church, but they have a lot of public school teachers in it as well, and the pastor will not allow them to publicize the school at all. He won't allow them to make it known or to leave literature on the table because he doesn't want to offend the public school teachers.
Wow. Now, I think, I don't know if you agree, I think it is completely permissible for a Christian to be a teacher in a public school as long as he is not forced to contradict his beliefs and compromise his beliefs. And I know of a few that have done that, but there's a difference between an adult being a teacher in that circumstance that truly can serve as a missionary in some capacity, especially if he develops relationships with the families outside of the classroom. But I would think that a pastor should sit down with a Christian public school teacher and confront them with the evidence that, in fact, evidence that they already should know is existing about the horrendous and oftentimes satanic things being taught and encouraged in the public school system. And if they were a genuine Christian, they should recognize and admit, yes, that's true, but I'm there as a light in the darkness. So that as an adult and a teacher, I think that that's acceptable, but not to drag your church down by trying to start a rebellion against a pastor who believes homeschooling and Christian schools are the superior model for Christian parents.
Right. Years ago, this is a good story I get ready to tell you, a little different than the earlier one. There was a pastor at the Florida Baptist State Convention that picked up some Exodus Mandate literature, and he happened to pastor the largest church in the county. It was not a a big county. It was a middle-sized rural county in Florida. But I think his church was about 2,000 members. And so he saw the literature that we had, and he was not informed. A lot of pastors are just not informed. They do not know what's going on outside the four walls of their church. So he brought the material back to his church, and he made copies, and he had about a dozen public school teachers in the church. And he called them in for a meeting and presented it to them and asked them, is this indeed what's happening in our schools? And these were born-again Christian public school teachers. And they got a little upset with him for bringing it up at first, but then they sort of settled down and they said, yes, indeed, that is happening here. So he said to them, he said, look, if this is happening to our children and the children in the county, he said, we have a moral obligation to start a Christian school, at least for our children. He says, I'm asking you not to oppose me, but to help me in this. So he appealed to the public school teachers he wasn't afraid of. He wanted them to get on his team, and indeed they did. I think four or five of them resigned from the public school and came over and staffed the teacher positions in the new Christian school that he formed. Now, I haven't kept up with this story in a few years, but within a few years, they had a flourishing Christian school in that church, and they had to actually build a building, and he was meeting the needs of his own children and his congregation and the needs in the county. So there are a lot of things that can be done, and he was one who took the bull by the horns, and I think he's retired now from that pulpit, but as far as I remember, that school is still going in that church in Central Florida.
Now, would you agree, as I have discussed with other guests on this program, that it's not adequate just to say, don't send your kids to the government school, send them to a Christian school? Because even some Christian schools, just like some Bible colleges and seminaries, are really often teaching things that are seriously heretical. Some of them are just mimicking the government school system's curriculum with just sprinkling Jesus in it, and may have less sexually provocative things involved, may have less or no woke material in their curriculum, but they're still not really adequate as a Christian school. Would you agree that a parent really has to be careful even in that area?
Yes, I would, and it just pains me to have to agree with what you just said, and I can't give a percentage of it, but a lot of our Christian schools are just not thoroughly Christian enough, and they do use secular curriculum. Now, to their credit, most all of them hire only saved teachers, and they have to have a personal testimony of salvation, and they have to agree to a doctrinal statement. But a lot of them are not instructed in worldview. My wife taught for years at a large Christian school here in South Carolina, and she was head of the English department, and it was a wonderful place for her and my children, but at times there were real inconsistencies that showed up, and it was very frustrating to her. You know, along some of the lines you say, but it wasn't. It was certainly a great improvement, and it left a good mark on my three children who went there. And now I had four grandchildren at the same school, and it was left a good mark on them. But if we sat back, we could find some things that they needed to do differently. Tragically, right now, the social justice movement, critical race theory, is making a play for Christian schools in a big way. And sad to have to report that ACSI, which is the largest Christian school agency in the world, has 24,000 schools worldwide, have sort of accommodated themselves to that. And we're working hard right now to get them corrected. But they've kind of gone in a little bit on it. So there's a lot of families are fleeing public schools and going into Christian schools. And if this thing keeps up in a bad way, they'll be jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. We think, really, if you can homeschool, that's probably one of the best things to do because you have autonomy. Homeschool curricula is often sometimes better than some Christian school curricula. And, of course, sometimes they use the same curricula. But homeschooling is very, very good, you know, particularly up through the middle school years. So, yes, there are problems in the private Christian school world, and we've got to work hard to keep ACSI from, you know, capitulating to the left, which they seem to be doing right now. You know, people may not be familiar with ACSI. It's an Association of Christian Schools International based in Colorado Springs, and they do not have a monolithic hierarchical type control over private Christian schools, but most of the Christian schools are members for accreditation. Sometimes they use curriculum and they give them advisories and help them different ways. And we're very concerned about this trend right now.
Well, we have to go to our final break. It's going to be more brief than the previous breaks. If you do have a question for our guest today, Ray Moore, on the exodus out of the government school system into homeschooling and private Christian schools, please send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please at least give us your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air.
So I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Do
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today. at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
And what a timely ad for our discussion today, because ignitedbytheword.org is an excellent tool and companion and aid for homeschoolers that you can guide your children of all ages through various truths of the Christian life from the Holy Scriptures. And their renewal date for their advertising is in July, so I'm urging all of you to please subscribe to ignitedbytheword.org, ignitedbytheword.org, so that that fine ministry will renew their contract, as we are in urgent need of their advertising dollars. But it's an excellent magazine, and it will be great for you to introduce that magazine into your home for your children and your grandchildren and your nieces and nephews. That's ignitedbytheword.org, ignitedbytheword.org. We are now back with Ray Moore, and we have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know. I know I've heard this come up on other episodes of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with other guests, but what about the parent that has a gifted athlete, and if they were to send their child to a Christian school that has no athletic curriculum at all or homeschooling, they would be deprived of being involved in athletics and perhaps even deprived of a career?
I think there's some states that have the Tim Tebow rule. You may remember that he never attended public school, but the state of Florida allowed him to play football for a local public school. So he was actually homeschooled all the way through the 12th grade.
But wow.
Public school. So that works in some places. And then, of course, as the Christian schools grow and develop, they actually can be competitive. My grandson graduated from a large Christian school here in the state, about 1,000 children, and he was all state in football. And his school won the state championship in the private school league. And then he got a scholarship to not a Division I school, but right below Division I, and played college football for 3 years and was a starting tight end. And his team won the Southern Conference championship 3 years in a row. So there are cases like that. So it's not necessarily true, but it does handicap some children. But I wouldn't recommend it anyway. We do have a case here in the state where a kid went to Ben Lippin, which is a Christian school where my grandchildren go, and he was really a super football player. And so after his senior year, he transferred to a public school and was Mr. Football for the state of South Carolina that year. And he's now on the football team at Clemson, a real dedicated Christian. But we hated that he did that, but his family felt he needed to, and he is kind of a star in football at Clemson, which is a pretty good team, and he plays baseball as well. So these kids, if they're good, their talent will find a place for them, even in a Christian or homeschool setting.
Well, we have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, is it legal to have other family members outside of your immediate home or even neighbors that you can trust homeschool your children for you if it is impossible for you to do that?
Very good question. I think in many states, the parents, if they're homeschooling, have to provide 50% of the instruction. But my sister is homeschooling her three granddaughters, and I think her daughter is involved some, but she has to work during the day. So there are many cases like that, and I think it's, the situation is so bad that I think some people just kind of ignored what rules there might be. you have pods now where you'll have one teacher who might educate all the children in, say, three families, and she might have 10 or 15 children in one teacher. So there are many different models. So the answer is yes, you can do it, but you have to know what the rules are in your particular state. And those, all the states are different. They may have, you know, different rules in different states.
We have another anonymous listener who says, what advice do you have and counsel to start a movement going in your own local congregation that might convince them to start a private Christian school of their own?
Well, if you're a tithing member and a faithful, loyal member, I think you can start appealing to the board, the elder board, the deacon board, the pastoral staff. And I think you have to do it. A lot of these pastors are very slow. We have a saying we make often, says that the people will lead, the leaders will follow. So if you're not showing any demand or any interest, they're certainly not going to do it. Good pastors will often respond to the responsible people in their congregation. There's a magazine that we use with some great usefulness, the New American Magazine, and that was published in June of last year, the June issue. It's entitled Save Our Children, and they have a whole issue dedicated to our movement. And it's all the authors are Christians. I'm one of the authors, and then Alex Newman, who I've mentioned in the show, he was the one that assembled it, put it together, and he wrote two or three of the articles. But if this is the best tool we have on giving reasons to leave, making a theological, academic, and practical case. And we urge people to order this magazine in bulk, and they can do that making a credit card order at 1-800-342-6491. That's 342-6491. And order at least 10. Keep them in your car, keep them in your house, and just prayerfully give them out to your family and friends. Because if they read this, they will not be able to return to public school. So we ask churches, people in churches, to work the church, work the families, give them literature, materials. And we have a lot of the literature in my office. If people are interested in samples, they can contact us at exodusmandate@gmail.com and ask for samples of literature. But you have to make the case, and a lot of people have never heard the case for Christian education. Maybe I can make a shout out in a little bit different direction.
Sure.
To my friend who's running for the U.S. Senate in Georgia. I know you must have some Georgia fans on your call. And he was a homeschooler all the way through the high school when he was a young man who's the oldest of 10 children. And now he's homeschooling his 6 children. And he's running for the U.S. Senate in Georgia in the May 24th Republican primary. And his name is Josh Clark. And his webpage is votejosh.com, votejosh.com. And I know this young man real well. He's 42. He served 2 terms in the Georgia House, very qualified. Now, everybody in Georgia thinks that Herschel Walker is going to run away with the nomination. He's a very popular football player, but I'm not real sure he'd make a good U.S. senator. At least I think Josh would make a lot better one. So there are 5 candidates challenging Herschel Walker, the famous football player, in the Republican primary on May 24th. And we hope Josh may be able to come up and come into second place. And if Herschel doesn't get 50% of the vote on May 24th, there would be a runoff, and he might have a chance to close the gap. That's votejosh.com. And I know a lot of your audience could be in Georgia, and just take a look at that webpage. I know him, I've known him real well for 10 years. He's a homeschooler and a dedicated Christian. And if he were by some miracle get elected, he would carry the gospel and a stand for Jesus Christ into the U.S. Senate. and he had a very effective record as a legislator. And by the way, he was endorsed recently by the state of Georgia Right to Life Committee. So he's really the pro-life leader in the race as well. VoteJosh.com.
Now, just out of curiosity, I'm not an expert on Herschel Walker, but I know that he's considered to be one of the greatest college football players of all time, and is a winner of the Heisman Trophy and was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame, even played professionally for the Eagles and the New York Giants. He seems, by profession, to be a solid Christian when I've seen interviews with him, and very conservative on the vast majority of things, in fact, on every issue that I've heard him speak on. Why would your candidate and your friend be, in your mind, a superior candidate to someone like Herschel?
Well, you know, I don't want to say something negative about Herschel because he was such a wonderful football player, and I admired him, too, when he was running, and Josh even says he was my boyhood hero.
And a very humble man.
Yeah, and he doesn't, I just, when I watch him, I don't think he can put two, three sentences together in a coherent way. And I just don't think you can have on-the-job training for a U.S. Senate race. But he has some appeal because he has been endorsed by Donald Trump, and that carries a lot of weight in any place. So a lot of, there's five candidates running against him, hoping to, you know, that he may drop below 50% in May 24th. And right now, he's doing very well, but he was at 75% of the polls back 6 months ago, and he's down to about 55 or 57% now. So 20 days to go, we'll see what happens, but I just don't think he's really that qualified. And, you know, I've had to make, I've worked myself a lot of campaigns. I worked on Dan Quayle's staff when he ran for the Senate the first time in Indiana, and I've managed a lot of campaigns, and I myself did run for lieutenant governor in my state, didn't win, but I made a good showing. So I've had a lot of experience, and I just know Josh is just would be much better for the state of Georgia, and he would be effective on policy. And, you know, that's what I think.
Well, before we run out of time, I want to give you 5 minutes of uninterrupted time to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners in regard to the Exodus Mandate.
Right. Well, we started Exodus Mandate 25 years ago. It is a Christian ministry to assist and encourage Christian families, churches, and pastors to leave behind the state-sponsored public school system for the promised land of K-12 campus Christian schools or homeschooling, which would be Bible-based and Christ-centered. And we believe this could be a key for the revival of our families, our churches, and our nation. Right now, we're losing so many of the political, cultural battles. Everywhere we turn, the left seems to be dominating and winning. But in this arena that we're talking about right now, we're seeing some tremendous success. And people are fleeing the schools and going into homeschooling and Christian schooling at an enormous rate by the millions. And if we could grow this movement up to 30, 40%, and that's uncertain, we may reach a tipping point where the culture will abandon wholesale public education, hand it back over to churches and families where it belongs and where it originally existed. Now, a lot of people don't know for the first 200 years of American history, we had no state-run public schools in the United States. All of the education at the K-12 level was offered by families, private associations, and parochial schools by church and churches. So we want to go back to the original model, American model, which birthed this republic, and return to our Christian heritage. And this would also be very comparable to the scriptural model, which is that Christian people should give their children a Christian education and not put them in pagan schools, which is what so many are doing today. Happy to report that that is changing, and we want to see it. So I could use appeal to your audience, if we could use your help. Go to exodusmandate.org and check us out. go to publicschoolexit.com if you're brand new and want to get started, because there's more there about how to get started, but you have to be a serious person to study that. And if we can help you in any way, contact us at exodusmandate@gmail.com.
Well, we have time for a couple more questions. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who wants to know, I am aware that there are several philosophies of Christian education, perhaps more, but the ones that I am aware of are private Christian schools that insist both parents of the students there be Christians. There are others that say at least one parent has to be a Christian. And there are others that believe neither parent needs to be a Christian. And what is the model that you prefer, if any?
I think I would accept the second model. Sometimes you have a family that's one parent is not a believer, but certainly the mother or father, if they are Christians, should have a right to put their kids in a Christian school. We think Christian schools generally should be for Christians. We've seen where they get 10 or 15, 20% are not Christians, and they take over and dominate the Christian children. You don't want to have a quorum of unbelievers that can badly influence the Christian kids away from the Lord. But anyway, I think I would accept, and that's been the policy of my family school where my wife taught for years. They had to have at least one parent to be saved.
Well, we actually have an anonymous listener right now who is responding to that. The anonymous listener says, I am very familiar with a Christian school that permits students to be enrolled without either parent being a Christian, but they run a very tight ship of discipline, and the parents have to agree to the fact that the children are being taught biblical concepts and evangelical Christianity, in addition to the reading, writing, and arithmetic. Would you fault that kind of a school that seems to be successful in spite of some of the students not having either parent as a Christian leader in the home?
No, absolutely not. If they can make that work, that would be fine. We know some cases where Christian schools are started up primarily to be evangelistic, and that means they would have a lot of non-Christian kids, but it would take a very tough staff, discipline, you might say cracking the whip in a situation like that. And we've seen some of those cases where...
Figuratively, of course.
evangelizing the children successfully. So I think there's a place for different models. It's just that I'm familiar with the second one that your caller came in, and that's what we've used. And we see that works well in my family's case.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the program today. And I want to make sure our listeners, once again, have all the information they need to follow up with you. The website is exodusmandate.org, exodusmandate.org. I want to thank you so much, Ray, for being a superb guest. Look forward to your return to the program.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And if you want some more people who are in my vineyard, I can recommend some guests that would be similar to what I'm doing, but they may be in a curriculum or have some special aspect of it. And I sent you a bunch of literature so you can look that over. So I can recommend some other guests because I think you have a good show. If you have Joe Moorcraft on several times a month, it's got to be good. And those people that like him like me too.
Amen. Well, you might be interested in listening tomorrow because I have another guest that was recommended by Dr. Moorcraft, Dr. Kevin Clawson.
Yeah, I know him very well.
Great. President and teacher of Principles of Law and Principles of Government at Christendom Bible College. And we're going to be discussing Reconquering the Academy for Christ.
Yeah, we know him very well. That's great. I saw that you were doing that.
Well, great. I'm glad that you have a high regard for tomorrow's guest, and I urge everybody who listened today to tune in tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, to hear Dr. Kevin Clawson on Reconquering the Academy for Christ. Well, I want to thank you again, Ray Moore. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write in questions. And I want to thank everybody, whether you wrote in a question or not, for listening. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives and never forget that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.